These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country, and jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for parenting once again. Joanna Fortune joins us as ever. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
Right, your first question is this. My 12-year-old son is about to start in first year of boarding school next week. It's fortnightly boarding, so he will be home to us every 2 weeks for two nights. The concern that my wife and I have is how we go about keeping our communication lines open with him. He's a little shy, and like most young people, he's terrible on the telephone and just wants to get off as soon as we call him. My wife is keen to write letters, but I worry this won't cut the mustard. How do we maintain a relationship with him when we don't see him on an everyday basis?
It's a good question. And he's still so young. You know, I always think of, you know, when as adults, we want to have a phone call with our kids. You know, if you've ever even just been away from young kids on a holiday or a weekend and you ring to check in on them and they're like, hi. Yep. No, what? And they're gone. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, that it's not that he doesn't want to talk to you or communicate or connect with you. It's just that that's not something that younger kids, and he's still in that, he's coming into adolescence for sure, but it doesn't get easier for a while yet on the phone. What I would say about phone calls with children is try to pick something that they are interested in to talk about so that it's not vague questions like, how are you? What were you doing? Are you okay? Because it puts a demand or an expectation that they fill all the gaps and with a narrative that they're like, I don't know how to express that, so I'm not going to. But if there's a game, a book, some kind of a theme, a TV show that he likes to watch, or even somebody maybe even online that he likes to watch, you watch it too so that you've got a common language, a common interest to talk about. That could help the phone calls. And even if they're brief, you know, even if he's not great at chatting on the phone, it's still worth doing them so that he knows you're there available if he needs to avail of you. So if the day comes when he really does have something to talk about, he knows that you're going to call on a set time and he can talk to you. I think that's worth keeping that door open. But you could also, you know, depending on if he has access to his own device or email or a phone, that you could share clips or videos that you think he'd find funny or interesting, just sending texts that don't contain questions or an expectation that he respond, but just you're reaching out to him. That's going to be really good. Now, that's if he has his own phone or access to a device that you can do that on. I think as well, don't underestimate sending like little care parcels, even just a single chocolate bar in the post with a post-it going, this bar always makes me think of you, and just sending it. I think that can be really nice. It's little ways that you can do I'm thinking of you without having to say it all the time. Letters and cards are not a bad idea, but just manage your expectations. It might be one directional communication.
Yeah.
You might not get any letters back. And if you're okay with that and happy to send letters and cards, go for it. Do that. I just think it's worth observing, Sean, how he is settling in the first few weeks, even a month, and reviewing what will work with him. I don't think you can know now. You haven't been separated before like this. I think it's going to take a couple of these fortnights, you know, so literally a month, you know, two weeks. He'll be home during those. And then you'll be able to say, OK, I know what is and isn't working. And you'll refine this as you go on. Don't be afraid to ask him. I don't want to be bombarding you with calls if that's putting pressure on you. But I'd love to still be able to connect with you and hear how things are going. How will we best do that?
Yeah. Is 12 a little young to be going away to school?
I mean, there's so much that I don't know on this. Like, it depends on where you're located, access to schools. You know, is boarding school something that makes sense for this family in terms of geography? Where are you and where you're going? I think, you know, for some 12-year-olds, the answer to that, Sean, would be yes. And for other 12-year-olds, they'd be like, no, they're fine. They're well used to it. Yeah. No bother to them. The fact that he's coming home every 2 weeks, I think, is a big help. He's not away for a full term. because I think that's a prolonged step. Now, 2 weeks is still long, but it's he. You know you're going to see him in 2 weeks and every 2 weeks, and so does he. I think that's a big help here.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, good luck with that. I'm having a problem with my three-year-old where he has taken to cursing. It started small, but now he's using the F word a lot, especially when he's angry or frustrated. Recently, he told my mother to F off and she was really upset. My family are telling me that I should give out to him when he uses bad language, but I don't know if drawing attention to it is making it worse. What should I do?
Yeah, this is one of those age-old ones that comes up a lot, and he's the classic age for it. Now, I'm going to say something, and I really don't want it to sound like judgment to this parent. I'm just going to observe that children this age are big imitators. So the best thing any of you in his care network, his family network can do is start by being really mindful of your own language. The fact that this little guy is using the word and he's using it in context, appropriate context, he's heard it somewhere. So just be aware that they imitate. Now, the positive in all of that is that you can also model different words during frustration, during whenever those expletives would come out. You can begin to model alternate words for him to imitate. Give him something else. They're brilliant little imitators. And it's important because it's how they learn at this age. But just be aware, is there anyone in his world that might be prone to the odd word or phrase or many words or phrases like this slipping out, because he might be drawing inspiration from there. That's the best way to put it. Mm. You're dead right, this parent, in terms of don't give it huge attention or reaction, because initially any of us, and I think it's every parent out there, if I'm honest, when your child swears the first time, you laugh. Because yeah. You have that nervous laughter response going, oh, and it does sound strange coming out of a small child's mouth. So he may well have gotten laughter even the first few times. And it's very common for a child to go, oh, that's what that elicits. Now I'm going to play for that. I'm going to keep doing it. And now you guys have changed your response. That's confusing to a kid. So you almost have to explain this for him. So when your family are saying you have to give out to him, I mean, I don't know what that's going to actually do with a three-year-old. They're just going to look at you and go, why are you so cross? That cause and effect thing. Oh, it's because I swore and I really shouldn't swear again. I don't think you're going to get that from a three-year-old. I really don't. So the giving out is only going to maybe add stress and upset to the situation. That said, it is well worth putting in there a gentle yet firm no, not a nice word. No, not okay. And then you have to redirect and distract him. But what you could also do is have him repeat a positive alternative. So, no, when you're mad, you say, and give him something else to say, I'm mad, I'm sad, I don't like it, no thank you, whatever it is. And keep repeating it and repeating it, and praise the word he uses when he repeats the positive thing you want him to say. So you could also say, because it's your mom that he upset or offended with the word, you know, Granny really didn't like that, so we're going to use different words. We won't say that ever again. Manage your expectations. In the moment, he's going to say, absolutely. And then when he sees Granny, it might slip out again, because he might test, is it still offensive to her? Have things moved on? Also kind of get down to his level. With an older child, I would always say, an older child swearing, say, ask yourself, why are they swearing? You know, what are you feeling right now? With a three-year-old, I'd be more saying, tell him how he's feeling. Put words on what he can't articulate because he doesn't have the emotional fluency. So at his age, you're going to say, oh, you don't want a hug. You say no, thank you. So I'm just, if you know, inferring and projecting here. If, for example, he told Granny to F off, you know, if she was giving a hug and he said, no, get off me, I don't want to be touched, he needs an alternative expression, for example. So you want to say, you're mad, this is what you do. We have to help our kids learn sad words, mad words, happy words, scared words, so that they have that emotional fluency to express things. It's not the feeling that's the problem here. It's really actually that he's learning language. He's learning ways to express things. The swear word is also a new word, and it probably got that big response the first time or times. So just be mindful of that, but also be mindful of where he might hear it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is an exceptionally common phenomenon.
Oh, so common. I honestly think every parent out there has had their child. And it's usually the sign when we all go, ooh, we need to stop doing that, in case they're listening. Yeah.
My 13-year-old daughter came to me last week really distressed and upset after a boy in one of the sports clubs she's involved with showed her really graphic pornographic material on his phone. She's only had her birthday last month and I would describe her as quite innocent in many ways. So I feel as though she was really shocked by what she saw. I told her I understood how shocking it must have been for her to see and that I'm here if she wants to discuss or talk about anything she saw on the video, and just gave her a hug and tried to comfort her as best I could. Is there anything else I should be doing? Do you think I should contact the boy's parents about the incident? My daughter has pleaded with me not to. If I decide to approach the parents, how should I go about it?
I'm going to be really interested in what people listening think about this one too, Sean. But my, like straight away, there's two parts to this for me. I'm going to start at the end. Do you think I should contact the boy's parents? Yes. I absolutely think you should, especially I'm inferring like they're on the same kind of sports team, sports club. They're the same age, give or take. I could totally understand her daughter's hesitation. Please don't do that. Mm. Don't embarrass me. I totally get that. But this is one of those examples where you say to your teenager, some things are too big for parents not to know. This is one of those things. I understand you don't want me to do it, but this is one of those examples where I have to say parent to parent, I have to take charge of this. And I would advise that, yes, you let that boy's parents know that he is viewing and sharing what you're calling really graphic pornographic material, because they need to know so they can safeguard him. They can ensure that he understands the ramifications of what he's viewing, yeah. The context of it, and the boundaries around not sharing material like that. It's also sounding like he's got access to a digital device that he is showing gross immaturity around using. So I think that absolutely, for all of those reasons, and the fact that your daughter is young and you speak to that, you know, she just turned 13, she's quite innocent. He's also very young. Mm. So all I'd say is, if that was my son, I would definitely want you to tell me.
Yeah.
I think even aside from that, from a developmental and safeguarding point of view, I think you have to tell those parents. I am interested, though, in what other people might think about that. I'm really glad this girl could come and tell her parent about this. So glad that she told you. And I think it's great that you've left that door open going, you know, look at, you can come and talk to me about it if you want to. If you know, I think that puts the onus on her to come to you and say, I'm having a hard time with that and I need to talk about it. She could be having a hard time processing it, but not even have processed it to a level that she knows what to ask you or how to express it to you. So I think you might need to go back to her and initiate a conversation saying, look, you saw material that in a million years I wouldn't have wanted you to see. And there's a couple of reasons for that. What you saw is not real. It's acting. These are actors. It is not real. It's intended for adults to view and never for children or teenagers to view. So you should not have seen it. And I'm sorry that you did. You're allowed to feel shocked and upset because so much of that kind of material is shocking and it doesn't represent women positively. So how you feel is valid, and you're really validating her feelings for her and also empowering her to say going forward, I don't want to see material like that. Don't show me those kinds of images, and that she can be definite and confident in asserting her boundary around that. I think you also just have to have that conversation, you know, with our teenagers and young teenagers. And honestly, Sean, sometimes when they're teenagers, we're quite late to the conversation. If it's the first time we're having it, we do need to talk to our children about pornography, about what they're going to be exposed to. And as soon as you are handing your child a digital device of any kind that's Wi-Fi enabled, there is every chance / high probability that they are going to see inappropriate content. And we have to give them a way of coming to us. They'll never be in trouble for telling us what they've seen, but they do need to tell us what they've seen so that we can make sure that they're safe and that everybody involved is safe.
Yeah. Or automatically we're getting a lot of, you have to tell the boy's parents. Because obviously it's affecting him as well and any parent.
And especially that he showed another kid. Because sometimes when kids show a peer or something, they're also testing out their reaction.
Mm.
Is it shocking to you as well?
Yes,
how do you feel about it? Does that validate how I feel? And especially when they're confused. And they're always confused at that age. So I would be talking to the parents without delay.
Yeah.
And if it happened in a sports club, if I could just add to that, I think I'd be flagged.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.